Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. It is Thursday. It's the Coach Approach. We're going to be diving into the film we saw, the film we want to see, and we're going to be hearing from you. And with me, as always, on Thursdays, the man, Ant, 49ers Cutback. How we doing?
We're doing good. You know, Thursday means we're really close to Sunday, and that's ultimately where you want to get, especially after a tough loss. You want to get back to the point where you can get back in your winning ways. And so getting a chance to look back is always important. It'll help you decipher where you want to go moving forward. And that's why I really love these episodes, because we can get into the X's and O's and talk about what needs to happen for the 49ers to get back to their winning ways. And it's been inconsistent this year. I think there's no other way to say it. But consistency starts with getting out there and putting a good game together. And I'm hoping that's what they can do on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's weird because the 49ers have had not a great season. Let's just be very honest. Like, it has not met any of the standards that fans, the team, NFL media, power rank, like, it hasn't been great. But at the same time, whenever I like step back and I say like, okay, are there missed assignments? Like, are we not game planning? Like, what is going on? And I think it's three different stories for three different sides of the ball, offense, defense, special teams. Each one of them have their own issues. But one of the things that I kind of walked away from, and I wanted to start this show on positive, whatever. One of the common critiques on like all the takes on social media is like Kyle's not scheming up plays. And man, I walked away from that tape saying, I don't know about that. Like, again, Kyle deserves a lot of criticism for a lot of things. However, that double pull quarterback sneak on the 3-yard line, holy freaking cow. Like, we ain't seen that in the NFL in like a decade. Like, that was balls to the wall, crazy gamble. You scheme George Kittle wide open down the field, should have been a pass touchdown. You scheme Jacob Cowing wide open down the field, should have been a touchdown. Didn't get a touchdown on either one of those two. One was a turnover, one was a field goal. But, like, I'm just like, golly, that's huge. That's 11-point difference. And so, not that Kyle Shanahan's in his typical bag or whatever, but watching the tape, I'm sorry. I walked away like, okay, the offensive play calling, I don't think is the main issue or even close to a main issue. And what's your take on that? Am I off the wall? Am I crazy?
No, I think you're spot on. I think in this scenario, there were so many opportunities for the 49ers offense to be highly successful. He put them in situations you expect them to win. You brought up the Jacob Cowing play. On that play, Jacob Cowing's not the only one open. Ricky Pearsall's open. Ronnie Bell underneath, he's open. It was all three guys. And Brock makes the right read. I mean, Jacob Cowing's the obvious shot. But there's also shots to Kyle Juszczyk, which he's open, or, you know, one-on-one with a linebacker. You got to like that matchup if you're Kyle. There were a lot of things. I think that even the running game, there was some things with him pulling Juice and Kittle to the hole that could have created some counter looks that just weren't executed. And I think that's unfortunate, but I didn't walk away from this game saying Kyle called bad plays. Of course, in every game, there's times where the defense calls the right call and takes your play away and it doesn't look good. Those are the norm. Those happen. You can't call every play successfully. It's just not the way it goes. Kyle's not perfect. But he put his players in situations to get one-on-one matchups and to win. And that's all you can really ask for a play caller. And I came out of the film the same way you did, thinking, you know what? Kyle called the plays. The 49ers players just didn't execute. And it's not one area. It's
no
one time it's one area. The other time it's somebody else. And that's unfortunate. And so that is a coaching issue to a point, because you have to get your players to be executing at a higher level. But it's also on the players. These are professionals. They got to be able to execute what they're supposed to do. So I think it's not on Kyle scheme-wise. I think it is on the coaching staff to make sure those players can execute. But there's still some unforced errors by this team that I just can't explain. And it just kind of frustrating. And I think losing is frustrating. And a lot of times you just look at those situations and go, that's why it's frustrating, because we're doing unforced errors that make no sense.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I like that you brought up the MAs, the missed assignments. It's because it's everybody. Sometimes this game, it was Brock Purdy several times. You got the drop for Mayuk. Sometimes in the goal line, you've got Brindle missing a block. You've got Banks missing a block. You've got McKivitz missing a block. You even had Dominic Pooney whiffing on a block on a short yardage play, which is very uncharacteristic of the rookie, who's been stellar and still had a good game. But, like, man, it's like everybody is taking a turn at times just whiffing. Like, completely missing plays. Saw it on George Kittle sometimes, who I think has probably been the most consistent offensive 49ers throughout this season. But even George Kittle having a couple mistakes. And so I understand, and I think it's simple, and I get it. And I'm not trying to bash anybody. Like, whatever, people are like, oh, it's Shanahan. It's just easy to point. It's the guy at the top all the time. And I think Shanahan deserves a lot of criticism in a lot of other areas. But as I go through Twitter and Instagram and all these social media, whatever, dumpster fires, everybody's like, Kyle's just not scheming them up. And I'm just like, man, I don't think that's the case. A lot of criticism in other areas. We're going to get to that. But let's get to Ant. Give me something that you saw on tape this past week that perhaps you didn't recognize right away.
I think the first thing that I really recognized once I went back is that Jordan Mason's not consistently hitting the holes he's supposed to hit. And I think that that's a little frustrating for the 49ers. And when you see Kyle Juszczyk kind of look to the sideline and shake his head like, what's going on, especially when it's the first play coming out of half, is those types of things are irritating to an offense, because if you can get a couple of those runs going, it changes your offensive game plan and also the way that the defense plays you. All of a sudden, now you can turn to play action, but the way that Kyle got it going in the second half was he went to 11 personnel. He spread them out. He got Jordan Mason some good lanes to run the football, and you could tell the offense was a little bit different when there was those big chunk carries for the run game, and I think that's a little bit frustrating. I feel bad for Mason because I have to point out some of it, the times he's indecisive or goes the wrong way, and it's compounded by the times that he makes the right read and then the offensive line doesn't hold blocks. But I just think that you are noticing the difference between the experienced runner of Christian McCaffrey, who was able to know when to press things to the outside, when to cut up, and when to go his own route. And I think that's just a little bit different right now for Mason. And I think it's really started over the last 3 or 4 weeks where he got more indecisive. I don't know why. So I think he's trying to be really perfect with his runs, and it's just not working out. And the run game is suffering a little bit. You had to be really on point this week against the Chiefs' very good run defense, and I just don't think they were. Didn't exactly get it done for me, and I was a little disappointed in Jordan Mason's performance in this game.
His vision is definitely sometimes it's on, and then sometimes it's not. And Sin asks, why doesn't Mason consistently follow his blocks? And this is the problem. If you've got to run behind a center who constantly misses his blocks and cannot hold at the point of, you know, contact past the count, eventually you're going to cut off of that. And that develops bad habits. And in the goal lines, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a Jake Brendel fan. Jake Brendel had one of the best blocks of his career at the goal line, and Jordan Mason cut off of it whenever he shouldn't have, and probably would have scored a touchdown. Now, Brendel paved the way. He really, really did. Now, how many times has that happened? Not many. But whenever it does happen and the play call is what it is, you got to trust it. You got to. And so it's a little bit of chicken or the egg. Like, they haven't been doing it, so you've been able just to force it on your own. But when they do it, you're not there. So, like, you've got to run the play. If we know anything about Shanahan, run the play that's called. Run the play that's called. And the problem is Shanahan can't go to anybody else. You try to get Isaac Garrido in there. Dude has more fumbles than missed tackles forced. So, like, if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, Mason's vision is costing us this several parts of this game. It wasn't always bad, but I could think off the top of my head 4 or 5 really, really bad cuts that ruined a play. Or you go Isaac Garrido, who also can't run the play designed and also fumbles like crazy. It's frustrating. You need Christian McCaffrey back. The difference that 23 would make would just, it just seems like, man, everything would just be better. Everything would just be better. So let me ask you this. They didn't activate Christian McCaffrey's 21-day practice window. They're saying they're probably going to do that at the bye week. Do you assume that Christian McCaffrey will be playing that week against the Bucs after the bye?
Yeah, I do. I think that it's time to go ahead and give it a try. And I think for the reason they're going to probably open this thing a little bit up is they need to see where McCaffrey's at physically so they can determine if they need to bring a running back in. You might be able to get a running back for cheap on the trade market. If you wait too long, you're not going to be able to pick up somebody. So I think the abilities of Isaac Garrido, I think we all know that he's got some ceiling things that he could do. The speed is great. I don't think he's ready to consistently contribute. No. They never planned on him consistently contributing. They thought it was going to be McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason. They were going to be stacked at running back. Mitchell's out. CMC's been out. So if CMC's not coming back, they need to make a move. So I do think Christian McCaffrey's going to have his practice window open. They're going to take a really hard look at this. And I'm hoping CMC plays against Tampa Bay because it's not just the running game, but it opens up the passing game too. Linebackers now have to account for him in the passing game. You start getting less guys packed in the middle because McCaffrey can spread them out. That's ultimately what Brock Purdy needs. That's what this offense needs.
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this. I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in. You pick your portfolio. It goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas? You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he struggled, 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition, now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean, now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Maybe you've been thinking about therapy. You realize a therapist could help you work things out, but
I can't afford it. Therapy is expensive.
Talkspace is different. Talkspace is one of only a few online mental health providers that takes insurance. Average copays are only $15.
I can't afford $15.
And most insured members pay nothing.
Nothing? No copays at all? With insurance, I could see a therapist and I might not have to pay anything out of pocket?
That's right. Nothing should stand in your way of getting support from a caring, licensed therapist. And if you don't have insurance, no problem. You can pay out of pocket for a lower cost than in-person therapy. And because you meet your therapist online, you can schedule appointments for whenever and wherever it's most comfortable for you.
Wow, I'm feeling better already.
You can pay for Talkspace with insurance or get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I like it. Now, the trade deadline's Tuesday. So trade deadline's here in about 5 days. You got to get something done. And again, running backs are super cheap. You can get a lot of guys out there. I don't know. I don't want to trade for a running back, but I understand the need. I get it. I do not want Isaac Grando playing this year, really, at all. I didn't like the pick too much, and he has not grown very much. I'm scared of him playing, but if CMC can't go and stay healthy, you've got to have something else back there. Now, for that Tampa Bay game, if anybody's going after the bye week, oh, I'm so excited. We're going to be there hanging out with the legend. Frank Gore himself is going to be joining us. That's going to be Saturday, the day before the Tampa Bay game, November 9th, 2 to 8 p.m. at the Brick House Tavern. You got to go get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. You do have to pay for the entry. It's $20. And then you have to pay for the autograph. Frank signs everything. If you do a meet and greet, you get a picture with Frank, you get to meet him, and he'll sign jersey, whatever it is you want to bring. And then we got our tailgate the next day out in Tampa Bay, which is going to be awesome. We rented out an entire block. It's going to be incredible. Cannot wait. One block east of the stadium. Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com to get your tickets today. Let's go. Now, back to you. I want to volley it back. One more thing, Ant, that you saw on tape that perhaps we didn't notice whenever the broadcast live game feed was going on.
I think it's some of the plays that Malik Mustafa was making, just how impressive they were, because there's plays he's coming from high safety. Like, he's not anywhere near the line of scrimmage, and he's coming all the way up as that alley defender and making a tackle for a one-yard gain or a two-yard gain. And I think the impressive nature that he was playing with, and one of the things I've been hearing is that the safeties for the 49ers don't have any range. Well, guess what? That's range. If you can go from being 12 yards deep to making a play 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage, that's impressive. And I thought that was an element that the 49ers safeties have missed this season. We haven't seen it from Jair. We definitely don't see that type of play from Odom. I think they've been okay as far as getting up there, but it was different. Mustafa was a missile, and he was flying up there. But I thought the coverage held up too, which means Mustafa's moving in the right direction. And the 49ers need that safety consistency. It started making me think, when Talanoa Hufanga comes back off the IR, is it going to be Jair Brown and Talanoa Hufanga? Or is it going to be Talanoa Hufanga and Malik Mustafa? And
that's,
I think that's the part. Yeah, that's the part that I first thought of, was this game kind of made that clear to me. So I'm like, okay, Mustafa did a lot more. Because when you see it on the tape, you see him flying up on the TV copy, and you're like, oh, he made a play. But I think when you see how deep he was, that's when you understand the read, the speed, the athleticism, the tackling ability. I thought it was a really good look from Malik Mustafa.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, he's a stud. Still the missed tackles, led the team in missed tackles with three. That's just going to be a problem with that type of energy. That's what he is. But I want like a three-way rotating safety look. Jair Brown has been the Iron Man. He has not missed. He's playing every single snap. That's his best attribute. But he's been awful. Was the worst rated player of all 19 players that took defensive snaps with a 34.8 grade. I did think that the game against the Seahawks was probably his best game of the year, but still not good. I'm all for Hufanga and Malik, like you said. And look at Blood Moon. Skylar Moore got trucked by Malik Mustafa, and now he's on IR. We don't like injuries, but yeah, he totally put it on that dude. And they were looking at going at it after the game too. I don't know if you saw that clip where everybody's like, you know, high five and whatever and saying good game. Like, they look like they were about to go at it again. Yeah, Mustafa's an animal. Love that dude, man. Ugh, he's so good. Now, right here, Tig Brown, new special teams ace. Our problems are solved. Man, what's crazy is when Talanoa Hufanga was an all pro, he was still on special teams. Kyle Juszczyk was still on special teams. They're not on that anymore. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road. Now, let's one more positive thing before we switch to a little bit more of what we want to see, which I want probably the majority of this episode to be on. I thought our zone defense, our zone coverage defense, was unbelievable. When we run zone defense, Patrick Mahomes was so flustered. He couldn't do anything. Almost all the turnovers came on that. And almost all the third down stops and goal line stops came on that. The problem, and again, I don't want to focus on the negative, our zone defense, what we're designed and what we draft our players to do, works very well. The problem is almost every single big, giant, explosive play or third down conversion came against man coverage. When we telegraph we're in man from the break of the huddle, the Kansas City Chiefs were just sitting there waiting, licking their chops. Oh, they're going to go to man eventually. Don't worry. They'll go to man eventually. And every single time we did, we got roasted. Whether it was the run game, running perimeter outside, it didn't matter. We just got absolutely destroyed.
And so, like, if we just stay in zone, and maybe this brings us to looking forward to the Cowboys, you don't have to run man against these guys. They don't have the weapons. Kansas City Chiefs didn't have the weapons either, but we still kept bailing them out with man coverage. Like, Ant, tell me I'm not insane, or you can tell me I am insane. That's okay. Our zone coverage is fire. Why do we keep switching to man in the most pressure-packed situations of games?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think that he's trying to be multiple in his looks, and I think he knows that he's got some guys that can make plays. So he thinks if he goes to man coverage, it's going to give the pass rush enough time to get home. I think that's the mindset behind it. Of course, we know that when you have an athletic move, you know, quarterback that can move, zone coverage is always the better way, because then everyone's got their eyes in the backfield reading through their receiver and looking at the quarterback. And when you get man looks, they're turned and running the other way. So you saw Patrick Mahomes take advantage of that a little bit. And Dak Prescott will do the same if that's what you go to. I think they're going to rely more and more on zone coverage as the season goes, because the stats and what they look at as far as, you know, the success against is going to start really showing them that zone coverage is the way to go. But I also think it helps them with mobile quarterbacks. So I think we're going to see a trend where it goes more that direction, where we just see more consistently zone and they just try to mix it up and kind of just put man in there occasionally with certain looks and certain matchups. But I think we're still working through that. And that's one of the things that you've got to get these guys to work through. Coach Nick Sorensen's got to work through what works well, what doesn't for his team. He has his own ideas, but the data is going to reveal what he's actually supposed to do. So I think they're going to work towards
it. We're in week eight, Ant. This isn't a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sample game size. This is 7 games. Like, it's not new. The 49ers are the worst team in the NFL when they blitz more than 4. We're the worst team in the NFL. We have the lowest EPA. Yet, third down, guess what? And we don't really blitz that much. I think we blitz 5 times. But all 5 of those plays, Patrick Mahomes torched the hell out of us. And so, like, I don't – they're watching the tape like we watch the tape. Like, who's sitting there saying, you know what? This week on third down, let's go, man. They're not going to expect that. I mean, we've been so bad at it all year. They're going to think we're going to stay in zone. But this week, we're going to get them, because this week, we're going to stay in man coverage on third down, and we're going to telegraph it early and not check out of it during the double motion. We got them. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you've been in coaching meetings, and you've heard coaches say some stupid stuff, and somebody's just like, no, we're not doing that. Why is nobody – where's Brandon Staley? Where is Kyle Shannon? Why is somebody saying, hey, dude, stop it? We did it to Steve Wilks. Called Steve Wilks out several times to the press just because he blitzed on third downs in crucial situations. Why can't we do the same thing to Nick Sorensen?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a different situation. I mean, Steve Wilks, you know, the players that he had is a little bit different than what Nick Sorensen had. I think that makes a difference. But I also think if you look at the stat line and you see Patrick Mahomes threw for 155 yards and 2 interceptions, you're not exactly thinking the pass defense is bad. And I think that's one of the things that they take into consideration. I think they should probably be better on first and second down. I think that is an issue. They give up a little bit of yards. Those third and shorts make it easier to have convertible plays. So I think that this is an entirely different situation from Sorensen to Steve Wilks. I don't think Steve Wilks should have gotten all the criticism he got last year. I think a lot of that was unfair early on in the season as he was working through things. I think he made mistakes. I think Nick Sorensen makes mistakes. But I don't think this defense has played as bad as sometimes it feels. And I think that that's a part of it. The special teams, the offense, have put the defense in some bad situations. Now, it's not all rainbows. It's not all perfect. That's for sure. But I think that sometimes it's made the defense feel a little bit worse than it actually is. They kept the 49ers in this game as long as they could, and then they started wearing down. You could tell. The run game started going. All of a sudden, here come the missed tackles. It just got a little bit tougher and tougher to do. So do I think Sorensen's done a great job? No. Do I think he's done an adequate, good job? I do, and I think that that's something they've got to keep working on. But I can't sit here and tell you that the pass defense was terrible because really they did a good job against Patrick Mahomes, hold him down for most part during the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just those crucial plays, 4 out of 5 in the red zone, you know, the second half, whenever it is. And it's not the first time they've done that. The Arizona game and the Chiefs game felt almost identical, where it was just like, man, the juice is gone. Like, we're in the fourth quarter and they're just hanging on. What's that cat meme where he's like holding on to the cliff, like hang in there. Like that was the 49ers defense both times. It just wasn't happening. It's frustrating. It is frustrating. So that's one thing. So, okay, here we go. Let's go with something that you want to see versus the Cowboys moving forward. What is something that, you know, you've seen on tape or you've studied the film, both teams? What is something that you're just like, stick to this, guys?
I think they need to go with George Kittle. I think George Kittle, there were opportunities in this football game where Brock needed to just ignore some things and go right to George Kittle on plays. George Kittle was getting open consistently, and it's a matchup that you're all pro tight end. You've got to rely on him. And I think sometimes there's not enough of that. It's not like, hey, I'm just going to find 85. And we know that, you know, other quarterbacks for the 49ers in the past would get on their guys and they would rely on them and know that they could count on them. And I think that's what Brock needs to do in this game. And I think with the matchups, you know, with Malik Hooker and some of the guys that they have playing safety and linebacker, this is an opportunity for George Kittle to have a big game. I think Mike Zimmer is going to put a lot of attention on stopping the run game because he knows his run defense has been terrible. But also there's a blueprint for how teams are trying to play the 49ers. Load the box, take away things over the middle, force Brock Purdy to make throws to the number outside the numbers. And I think this is one of those opportunities where George Kittle can have a big game. And I think Brock Purdy needs to be like, you know what, third down, if I don't have Juwan especially, I've got to find George Kittle. He's going to win matchups, and I think that's what they need to do in this game.
Yeah, I understand, like, the Kyle Shanahan scheme says, okay, whatever play we're running, a mesh concept, a flood concept, whatever play action. Okay, my first read is the outside number one wide receiver against the slot corner, whatever. Like, whatever. I'm saying, look at 85. Like, especially whenever your guys aren't out there, you're missing Debo, you're missing Ayuk, you're missing Jennings. Like, hey, I understand these are our reads. Let's pay a lot of extra attention to 85. Let's just pay it. And he was open all game for the most part. Like, he should have, that dude should, he had his best receiving game of the year, but should have been a lot more. So now you're playing against a Cowboys team that, let's just be very honest, their linebackers, not the best. That defense in general, pretty poor. They've had a lot of injuries. They're getting some guys back. Micah Parsons is going to be playing. Obviously, he's a stud. But, man, I really do hope that they listen to you and just say, like, okay, you know what? We don't know if Juwan Jennings is going to play this week. We don't know if Debo's going to play. I think they both will. But regardless, 85, who didn't even practice yesterday with his own foot issue, we're highlighting the tight end position. We're highlighting George Kittle. He leads the NFL in touchdown receptions from the tight end position. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. 49ers throwback. Appreciate you as always. Micah Parsons not practicing today. I do expect him to play, but I think we're going to have some of those non-practicing guys as well. Speaking of which, Ant, what are your thoughts on who's playing this Sunday and who is not from the 49ers, namely Debo, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle? What are your thoughts on those three?
Yeah, I think Kittle's going to play. I think that the fact they listed him day to day means it's probably a good opportunity for him to play. Take Wednesday off. That's normal. I don't think that's a big problem when it comes to injuries. When it comes to the other two, I think Juwan Jennings hasn't practiced in a couple weeks, so that's getting a little bit nerve wracking. I hope he can play. I actually think all three are going to play. And the reason I say that is the 49ers haven't really made any sort of a big move when it came to wide receiver as far as bringing in a guy maybe off the street that they could plug in or, you know, elevating a wide receiver. They elevated a defensive tackle. So I think that they feel confident with the guys that they have at wide receiver. So I expect all those guys to play. Debo running yesterday, I think, was a huge move in the right direction. So hopefully we'll have the full unit out there.
Gosh, man, that would be just the amount of just like, just knowing that number 15's out there, 85's out there, number one's out there, like that would be gigantic. I'm with you. I think majority of them play as well. But again, with the injuries to the 49ers, you never really know because Shanahan's cryptic, whatever. Like, I believe Shanahan had a lot of things. Injuries, not so much. Not so much, but that's okay. Now, I will say this. We got football tonight. It's Thursday. And I'm putting up a three-team teaser over on the 49ersrush.com. Just want to let you know the 49ers are in that. I'm taking the Vikings plus 7, 49ers plus 6. And then we've got, this is going to be a fun one, the Steelers plus 4 against the Giants. So all three of those, that's going to be our teaser bet. And if you haven't bet with us this year, guess what? Here's how you do it.
you know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right. I want, one of the things I want to see this week, I want Kyle Shanahan, regardless if Debo and Jennings and everybody plays, I want to trust the rookies. I want to see what they're going to do. Very similar to what you talked about with the running back. Like, you got to figure this out, and Tuesday's the deadline. Man, I want Cowing and I want Pearsall to get almost all the snaps. I don't want Conley getting snaps. I don't want Bell getting snaps this week. Now, Conley needs to be in the rotation moving forward, but this week I don't want them because I want to know what they have to offer. And if they can't cut it, we need to know now, not down the road. So it's kind of, I don't know how I want to say this, but it's like, we've got to figure this crap out now, because if not, then you need to go trade for a wide receiver. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see those rookies out there figuring things out. And if they can't cut it, then right here, Sportsman Like says, should we make a move for a liable 50-50 matchup wide receiver that can win on man? And if so, who? My thing is, we'll deal with that next week. Let the rookies play. Let the rookies see what they could do. Don't waste snaps on Bell. Don't waste snaps on Conley this week. Let's see what they could do, and then you address that. So what's your take on, you know, trading for a wide receiver versus, man, you drafted a first and fourth round wide receiver this year. How do you see that wide receiver room shaking out, and how should they address that moving forward?
Well, I think you're going to have to count on Ricky. I think you were already going to count on Ricky Pearsall some this year. I think how quickly he's going to be able to adjust to playing multiple positions is going to be the question, and why you still might see Chris Conley. You might still see Ronnie Bell a little bit more in this matchup. I think the 49ers' goal is to get through the Cowboys game, make sure that they can still have a consistent wide receiver play when it comes to blocking and some of the extra aspects. I think as long as those rookies can get to the right place at the right time, I have no problems with them playing. I do think they're going to take a look at it, and I think they're going to address the wide receiver position coming out of this game versus the Cowboys. I think they're probably around the market right now looking to see what's available, because the truth is there's one true X on this football team, and it was Brandon Ayuk. And after that, it's a bunch of guys that you hope can play it consistently. And so they don't have that guy now. So I do think this offense is a little bit different, or a lot different, without Brandon Ayuk. But let's see what the rookies can do. I'm okay with them getting some opportunities. I just want Debo and Jawan to be the main guys out there, so that way you can kind of put Pearsall and Jacob Cowing in when you need certain looks and you want certain matchups for them. That way they can build confidence. You can get some chemistry with Brock Purdy, and you can take advantage of their skill set the best. I think Ricky Pearsall is going to be able to get open consistently in this league from what I saw last week. I think there were opportunities for him where he could add some big plays. And Cowing's got that electric speed, so there are elements to their games you can put in. So I do think we're going to see a lot of them, but I think it might be Tampa Bay that we see more of the rookies than we do against the Dallas Cowboys, only because of the fact that you're probably going to want to count on Conley and Bell to handle some of the nuance of the routes and positions and blocking, because the rookies are still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Now, the second part of this question, like, who should we be targeting? I'm with you completely whenever you're talking about X wide receivers. Now, I'm not the biggest DeAndre Hopkins guy. Like I said before, like, offer a sixth or a pick round swap or whatever. Kansas City paid a fifth that could become a fourth. So, like, I thought that they kind of overpaid, but they're in major need. They have nothing there in the wide receiver cupboard. Still were able to beat us, but whatever. I digress. I would not have paid a fifth for DeAndre Hopkins. there still are some wide receivers out there. If I had my choice, Darius Slayton for the Giants, he could stretch the field vertically, big wide receiver. He's kind of the backup to Malik Nabers for the Giants. But now Nabers is back. And then, there was one more that I was looking at. Mike Williams of the Jets, obviously a flawed position and always banged up, but he plays that X role. That is what he is. So I think that's two targets that I wouldn't mind that, again, hey, man, we'll give you a six or a pick swap, and if you don't like it, cool, we'll move on, because I'm not in love with any of these guys. I just don't want to overpay when you've already paid so much at that wide receiver position. God, we paid so much there. Are there any other names I'm missing, Ant, that kind of stick out to you that you might want to target?
I think it's tough because I think it's the market's kind of picked over right now. I think this week's going to determine some things. I mean, the Rams might become sellers if they lose against the Minnesota Vikings. That will open up the market. A lot of people will go after Cooper Kupp. I think there's probably a couple other guys. Another name that I'm going to watch, I don't have any inside information, even though I do have a tie. I'll have to find out later. If Dallas loses, would they decide to trade Brandon Cooks? That's a guy that's been, he's got to come off IR, but another guy that's
been traded so many times.
He's been traded so many times. And what's funny is I actually coached him in All-Stars back in the day. Brandon Cooks, I got a little tie there. So I'm always rooting for him. But I wonder if there's going to be, a guy that comes open that they could go for. I don't know. I don't see that guy that's like, ooh, we have to get him.
Same.
And so that's what makes it a little bit nerve-wracking when it comes to wide receiver.
My favorite is when people email me and DM me, dude, let's trade for Cooper Kupp. And I'm like, okay, let me just explain. The 49ers could offer two first-round picks, and McVay will not trade him within the division to Kyle Shanahan. Zero. Like, that's not happening, right?
Well, this is the tough part. Ocho Cinco is not helping anything, right? He kind of puts out there Devontae Adams is going to the Jets, and now people think he's an insider, and he's putting Cooper Kupp going to the Niners or the Bucks, and it's like, dude, you're not helping us out. That's gonna get everyone talking about Cooper Kupp to the Niners. I don't know. I don't see that being what happens for the 49ers, and I do think McVay, they would have to be wowed. They would have to be absolutely moved by a move from the 49ers, and interdivision trades like that don't normally happen.
I think one time it happened, and that was Donovan McNabb, and Shanahan's were involved in that deal. So look at that. Nuanced take. I'm talking against myself. I mean, if they're wanting a second for Cooper Kupp, you'd have to give up a first. Do not give up a first-round draft pick for a 31-year-old running back coming off a myriad of injuries. Good Lord. Do not do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Oh, don't do that. I do not want to trade that first. We need O-line help. We need D-line help. Anyway, all right, let's go. Let's turn it back to you. What are some things, this will be our last little go-round here. What's something you want to see against the Dallas Cowboys on film, coaching scheme, player rotation, something along those lines?
Well, I think the first thing is you got to run the ball against Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys are coming in with one of the worst run defenses in the league, and this has been a consistent theme. 49ers play really bad run defenses. They're able to get a run game going. But Mike Zimmer is a very aggressive coach. I think he's going to load the box. We're going to see 5-6 man fronts from him, and he's going to try to take away this run game. The question is, can the 49ers get enough pressure on the edge? This is one of those situations where if Micah Parsons plays, run right at Micah Parsons and run at him a lot, because he's not good at setting the edge. So you have an opportunity here to get the run game going. I think there were opportunities last week against the Chiefs you weren't able to execute on. And I think that if they can get that going, they can really help their defense out, and they can help their offense. You get third and shorts, now they're convertible. You get situations where you win the time of possession. Let's keep our defense off the field for a long time and watch how good they play in this football game. I think they've been playing good enough football. I think you could have an opportunity to kind of blow the doors off the Cowboys, but it's got to be good run game. But I think the 49ers might have to loosen them up with the first couple of series, with Brock Purdy throwing some high quality balls, some easy throws here and there, and get them kind of loosening up before they can actually turn to the run game in full scale. You'll still have to give it to them keep them honest, but I think that's kind of the game plan moving forward, is get that run game going, but you might have to use some passes to loosen them up.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the things that I knew we'd both hit on this. Like, the plan should be to run the ball 35 plus times. Like, that should be the plan in this game. You talk about Cowboys have given up the 27th most rushing yards, and they've already had their bye. The 31st most rushing touchdowns, and they've had a bye. They're the 31st defense in the red zone. You can run against them. They give up the rushing touchdowns like we talked about. You can run against this team. You can. Now, Alejandro says, you know, do you think Mason will have a 100-yard game? He sure as hell should. And even though we've talked about in this episode how the 49ers run offense is problematic and Mason's missing holes and guys are missing blocks and we're not sticking with it, we're still top, you know, we're 12th in run game efficiency. We're 8th in yards per rush. We're just not committing to the number of carries. And, you know, this is a Shanahan criticism earlier where we talked about like scheming players up and whatever else that we thought like Shanahan was doing all right with that. My biggest criticism of play calling is once one negative or not huge positive play happens, Shanahan throws out the playbook and just goes pass, pass, pass. If you get to 2nd and 9, you can run it again. You can run the ball on 3rd and 5 whenever there's nobody in that. Like, commit to the run. Stick with the run. Trust it. And we've seen Shanahan get out in one play, you know, one score games in the second half where it's just like pass, 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 pass. And especially whenever we're turning the ball over so much. Like, that is a concern. You threw 3 interceptions. You were at 50% completion percentage. And what was a one score game up until the very end? Stick, commit to the run, run the, and I don't care if it's Isaac Garrando. I don't care if it's Patrick Taylor. I don't care if it's Deebo Samuel back there or Kyle Juszczyk. Just run the damn ball. Stop putting so much onus on throwing to these greedy type corners. And that's what the Cowboys game plan is. We're going to try to force them to pass and we're going to gamble and try to get some interceptions. Brock Purdy has put the ball in jeopardy several times lately. That's what the Cowboys are going to try to do. Stop the run early, get some picks. The way you stay out of that is you run the damn ball consistently, wear them down for a change. Think about what works against us. Do the same thing to the opposing team. Now, what are your takes on special teams? Dallas has the number one EPA special teams. 49ers, 31st out of 32. What changes can we do here?
Well, you brought up that a lot of players that used to play special teams don't play special teams. And Kyle kind of referenced that a little bit during his presser where he said, you know, we had guys who were starting gunners that are now playing as starters on the defense, or there's guys that have moved around. You might have to start turning to some of those guys, right? I mean, special teams is becoming such a liability that you might have to turn to some guys that you wouldn't normally say, you know what, I need you on special teams. I need you to play more snaps. And I think that's what they're going to ultimately have to do. You can't have guys just falling down in the open field, and allowing Mecole Hardman to have an explosive play. Like, that kind of stuff is just can't happen. So the special teams is a real problem. And here's the real issue. John Fossil, he's a fantastic special teams coach.
Always has been, man.
This dude is great. I'm hoping Mike McCarthy gets fired just so we can try to get John Fossil to come to San Francisco. Like, that's the kind of thing that I would love. But this is one of those times where you have to dot every I and cross every T, because Fossil will come up with a fake punt. He'll come up with something that's going to change the impact of this game. And so the 49ers just got to make sure they survive. Kick every kick out of the end zone. Don't allow any returns. Kick the punt away from Kevontae Turpin. Don't let him have an opportunity. And just play that way. Play a safe special teams game against a good special teams unit. I think that's the best way for the 49ers. They can't have the third of the game in the special teams hurt them this week.
Yeah, and it almost every single game so far, it's cost us big. Here's that clip you referenced about Shanahan talking about rotating the roster on special teams, just so we can provide some context here.
Continuing to work with all these guys. You know, we've had to move a lot of guys around from our starting gunners at the beginning of the year and now starting on defense. You know, we've had to change our PP, our wings. You know, I think our right guard, I think we've changed about 4 times. So there's a bunch of movement on those guys. So you just keep developing them. You keep working with the individual drills. You can't do all stuff full speed, especially tackling and things like that. But, I mean, we're emphasizing everything and trying to get our group better.
My thing is, you talk about replacing all those wings and stuff on punt. All of them keep doing the wrong thing. Like whenever you coach special teams, I just spit. That's hilarious. When you're coaching special teams, you the first thing you teach, especially on punt protection, right? You're blocking so the punter can kick the ball. You don't let anybody cross your face. You don't release to the inside. If they try to cross your face, you got to run with them and wash them across. It's very simple. And it doesn't matter if it's DFF before his injury and after his injury. He's done it multiple times before and after. You replace him with Tatum Bethune. He did it multiple times. Then you move his position. He's still doing it from a different spot on punt protection. It's just the amount of missed assignments and just like, whoa, what are we doing here? Over and over and over again. And we talk about all these different people. If all the different people rotating in those positions are all making the same mistake, I'm sorry, that's leadership. You're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. And, you know, Brian Schneider, good Lord, I don't know what insurance that dude's got, but man, it's just so poorly coached consistently. The fact that they're working out punters. We are working out punters. We just extended Mitch Wisnowski. He's coming off the best year of his career. Mitch hasn't been that great. He did have two good punts this past game. So, like, it's not like it's all bad. Tabor Pepper, the center, and not great this year either. It's just like, man, even the ones that we used to rely on to be kind of the cornerstones of what special teams was, Mitch Wisnowski, Tabor Pepper, now you can't even rely on those guys. DFF, I think he's probably the worst special teams player we have, and he's just a special teams ace. That dude got $2 million fully guaranteed, and he is struggling out there. Do you talked about, like, putting starters out there. I don't know, man. It's just like we talk about this almost every week. It's an issue every single time. Like, whenever a special teams play comes up, like, that's time to go grab a beer or go to the bathroom. Now it's just like, oh, crap, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Ah, they did it. Do you get the same feeling or am I overreacting?
No, I think that's how it is feeling right now. It's like you just don't know what's going to happen, and it's not in a positive direction. And once again, it's every single time we get a positive play from the special teams, it eventually leads to a negative play. They just can't get out of their own way this year. You get the great job stopping the fake punt, and it's like, yes, special teams comes up with a big play. Andres Carlson kicks a big 50-plus yard field goal, and you're like, here we go. And then it's a missed extra point, and it's a return for a lot of yardage. I think that, yeah, when it comes to attention to detail and executing at a high level, you have to point to the coach, because at some point, the coach has to make sure those guys are doing it. And if those guys aren't doing it, right, you have to find a way to replace those guys or get somebody that can. So I think it's a little bit of a combination. I don't think that the special teams has been well coached this season. I think that it's been clear there's been too many mistakes for too long at this point. But that's why you have to kind of change some things up. I do think Kyle and the way that he was commenting is definitely putting an emphasis on those guys getting better. So Kyle's attention is now on the special teams, and I'm guessing Brandon Staley probably is doing the same thing. They're going to try to do their due diligence to make the special teams work a little bit harder, coach them a little bit better. But right now, they're just not getting it done. And until they do, it feels very Hightower in past years where just everything's all over the place.
Yeah, and with Hightower, he was the former special teams coach, Kyle's buddy from Texas. I felt like we were good at like one or two things. Right now, I don't think we're good at anything. The field goal units are highest ranked EPA, and we're on a third kicker. I don't know. Shout out to my man Terrato. If you haven't seen his channel, go check it out. He is awesome. He says use mesh, rub screens, high percentage throws. Man, we don't do that. We ran one screen for 9 yards. Mesh is you could run mesh versus zone, man, blitz, whatever. Don't care. Mesh should always be used. We don't use it very often. Rub routes, we might use the least amount of rub routes in the NFL. I'm with you though. Check downs, screens, all that stuff, we just don't do them anymore. And it was funny, Kyle even had he had a statement in the presser where he was like, well, every team runs screens. I was like, you don't. I was like, you ran one singular. Every team runs screen. That would have been more accurate. I want more of those high percentage plays, and especially whenever you have guys like Pearsall, Debo, Jacob Cowan. Like, why do you think we've completely removed this from the entire offensive system?
I think that part of it is they had just haven't executed them well. I mean, you go back to Seattle, and you've got two screenplays dialed up for Kyle Juszczyk. One, that if Aaron Banks makes the block, is a touchdown. The other one, Brock Purdy just airmails and misses Kyle Juszczyk completely for what would have been another big gain. So they haven't executed there. I think Debo's a big part of the screen game, and so McCaffrey as well. They felt comfortable with them catching screens. Neither one of them have been in the lineup consistently. I think that's part of it. But I think a lot of it, too, when Kyle plays against defensive coordinators that are hyper-aggressive, he doesn't want to have negative plays. And so what he does is he goes with plays he knows can consistently get positive yards so he can face second and seven or whatever instead of, like, you know, second and 13 because you had a negative play. And I think that sometimes gets in his head. I wanted him to be a little bit more aggressive. I didn't feel like he was. I thought he played kind of the way he does against aggressive play callers. But, I mean, that might be the way to go. We saw Jacob Cowing with a nice screen pass. He got some positive yards. Actually, in the fourth quarter, Ricky Pearsall got a screen as well. He got ran down by the defensive lineman, defensive end, or it would have been a bigger play. I think it would have been a touchdown, in fact. So a couple of times here and there. But for the most part, yeah, screens haven't been a big part of the 49ers game plan. And I think that's where people are seeing that maybe they feel like Kyle's not as creative is because you don't see the screens and those types of things. But I think if you get Christian McCaffrey back into the lineup, I think it probably will return to a point. But I'd love to see George Kittle catch a tight end screen and then kind of mix it up a little bit more.
Last time he ran a George Kittle tight end screen, we scored a touchdown. And then we didn't run that play ever again. Run the touchdown play. Run the touchdown play. Look at me. Yeah, we've gone full circle. Want to say thank you, Ant. If you guys haven't checked out 40 Hours Cutback, you need to. He's got the Madden simulation coming up. He's got the preview. He's got the post game. You name it. 49ers Cutback, wherever you watch and or listen, make sure you get that. Ant, any closing remarks before we end this show?
This is a must win for the 49ers in a couple of aspects. Number one, you can't fall to 3-5, but bigger than that, it's 49ers versus Cowboys, and everyone knows what this means. And the Kansas City Chiefs have had the 49ers number recently, and that rivalry's been one way. Well, this one's been one way as well. And the 49ers can't let the Cowboys out from under their thumb. They got to keep it on them. They got to keep them down, and they've got to put the Cowboys out of their misery in this football game and absolutely go out there and handle business, play bully ball, handle them. They can't match you physically. I think there's opportunities for the 49ers to really run away with this game. But the most important thing is just get the win, get into the bye, regroup, and prepare yourself for a stretch run. That's going to be huge.
Gosh, well said. One game out of first place, ladies and gentlemen. You got to handle business this week. You got to handle business this week. Let's go. F Dallas. Let's go. Dwight Clark. Ah, I freaking hate these guys. Let's go get it done. Appreciate you, everybody else. You're the best. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.